Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here, lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long. Ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want two tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios, exclusively for our 12-pack Case Club members. We love you guys.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the Thank you for tuning in and sharing and telling a friend. Thanks for TotalRestoreOne.com, LifeLock.com, promo code Adam, TrueCar.com as well. All right.
So you and I have been talking about the climate change stuff. Like that. It also dovetails into what we've been talking about this week about the press. Which is the rhetoric is so different than the facts. I mean, if you go to the National Oceanographic Association or you go to these various scientific places, they're looking at the data and they go, yes, things are warming. They've been warming since 1890. The polar ice caps have been melting since 1890, and yes, they have accelerated recently, but they've also accelerated during other 20-year intervals when we've seen an acceleration. And the next couple of years will tell us whether that acceleration is real or an acceleration that is out of line with the previous rate of decrease in the ice caps. And, of course, it correlates with the increase in CO2, and it makes sense that we're contributing to that. We should be. It seems to make sense to me. So I'm not a denier. But when people start talking about the dire consequences, nobody's predicting that. I mean, they're predicting consequences, but nobody's predicting dire consequences. Even the sea level stuff, that seems to be a natural variation that may or may not be related to the climate changes. So it bothers me that the rhetoric is, you know, we're going to be all be dead in 10 years. No, no. Nobody is suggesting anything at all like that.
Let me explain where we're at and the danger of where we're at. The government went hard against pot and reefer madness.
Right.
And they kept talking about it and they classified it as a Schedule 1 or whatever it was.
Yes,
and then eventually people kind of went, I don't know. And there was kind of pushback and then we kind of stopped listening.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden pot's good for you. Mm-hmm. Now we still know it's not good for you. I'll let you make a choice if you want to get partake or not or whatever it is, the same way as I do with a sloppy Joe and a beer or whatever. but we assigned it mystical qualities because of all the pushback. And the problem is it's funny that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she would never go reefer madness. She's going reefer madness with the climate.
Yeah.
And now people aren't listening. Which is what happens.
They are, though. I guess
not most Americans. Most Americans don't listen.
Well, that was the data I was telling you at the end of last show. Is it shows that the voters are not interested in it.
That's what I'm saying, because it's reefer madness. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't – did anyone think the first time they took a toke off a joint, they're going to jump off the roof of the building and kill themselves thinking they could fly? You know, there's like, it was too much. It was overstated. So we went, I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the truth is somewhere in between. Like, it's not good for you, but it's not bad, but it's good for certain things, but it's not great for everything. It doesn't fix everything. It's like, so she's doing that with the environment. Yeah. I've lived through it. Al Gore, my mother would talk about this stuff in the 70s.
40 years ago, yeah.
And more than 40 years ago, and it still hasn't stopped. So none of it came true. The answer is this. As I said to Al Gore once, I have LED bulbs everywhere in my house because I like to conserve energy.
Right.
And I pay the electric bill. So it behooves me. But even if the price was exactly the same in terms of the energy bill.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I recycle because it's the right thing to do. And I have solar panels on my house now. And it's the right thing to do. And I would do these things based on it being the right thing to do. And you have to be in a certain tax bracket. Lynette drives a electric car. My next car will probably be a full plug-in electric car. I have looked at full plug-in electric car.
You got fuel cell.
A few years ago.
That Toyota fuel cell. That's the cleanest car.
There's a
hydrogen pump right by your house.
I know. But let's not pretend those batteries don't have to go somewhere or that there's not heavy metals in them and blah, 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 blah. It's not just you drive a Prius, you have zero impact on the environment.
You're a hero,
and then you drive a Mercedes, so you're horrible. It's like, hey, there's cost and environmental and who powers that car and how's it get its electricity. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. My feeling is, okay, we would like to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, all right? That's a goal. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yep.
I don't feel as dire about it as you do, but I'm all for it.
Yep.
I don't like importing that from OPEC nations. Evidently, we're not doing that anymore, so that's a good thing. Now, let's not give the world's worst people a bunch of money. Now, number two, let's see what we can do about reining in our reliance on it. Mm-hmm. Well, first things first. This is called climate change and global warming. I don't presume if you look at the United States from outer space that we take up the entire globe. So us driving a Prius and having the solar panels on the roof is good, but if developing nations aren't down with the cause, I may not smoke in the kitchen of my apartment, but if you're going to stand in the living room and have a bunch of guys smoke in there and you're telling me I got to put my cigarette out, that's fine, but unless those guys are putting their cigarette out, the apartment's going to smell like smoke. Yep. I can't. There's more of them smoking in the living room, and you're going nuts over me, and I'm vaping in the kitchen, and you're going ballistic on me. But there's a whole group of Indians and a whole group of Chinese and beyond who are just standing in the living room all smoking unfiltered cigarettes. So I would first say, all right, I'll put my cigarette out, but what are we going to do about them? We don't have jurisdiction over them and their cigarettes. So that's a pretty interesting part of the equation. You know, we're sort of carbon neutral and these other places are rising. You know, I mean, we're done being developed essentially. We're working on computer chips and mm-hmm. Priuses. They're working on firing coal and trying to get power, mm-hmm. trying to get heat, mm-hmm. you know. So we're done with the coal part and we're done with the developing part. We need energy, but we're not developing. We're developed. So first things first, how many people do they have? How many people do we have? This notion of like, oh, we need to lead the way. Mm. What do you mean we need to lead the way? How about when we talk about that in terms of democracy or military, then that's bad. You know what I mean? Mm. But when it comes to solar, then it's good. And by the way, they don't listen to us when we lead the way with democracy. Why would they listen to us when we told them to put solar panels on top of their homes? Like, well, so do they listen to us or don't they listen to us? So do we lead the way or don't we lead the way? What is this thing where we don't need to lead the way when it comes to democracy and everything else, but we do need to lead the way when it comes to the green movement? And what does lead the way mean if nobody follows you?
Mm-hmm.
We'll just lead the way alone? So every time you walk alone down the sidewalk, you're leading the way? Don't you have to have people follow you?
Right, or at least agree to follow you or someday follow you?
Yeah, so there's all these other nations. They do a lot of polluting, and we don't control them. So this notion of like, well, we got to lead the way and we got to fix this problem. I don't know that we can fix all their problems they're developing, and I don't know that it's a fair ask, as we've done a lot of polluting on the way to developing, and now we're developed.
But you've got all the while, oh, I agree with everything you've suggested so far, the press is beating this narrative, and again, a drum of the danger, the danger, the danger. And again, not healthy for – it's an enemy, enemy behavior.
Well, also, it's a thing where it's like you go, well, nuclear. Everybody I talk to that's bright, everyone knows the subject, says there's, we can do nuclear safely. And they go,
really safe now.
What about Fukushima? And I'm like, oh, okay, well, tsunami hit the plant and two people died. Maybe two people died. I don't know if two people died because of exposure or not, but what about it? It's like, I don't know. What is your yardstick to measure safety? Zero all the time? Just nothing? We have unlimited free, we have to build a facility, but I'm saying we have unlimited power with no residue, no footprint. We have unlimited power with steam going in there. We have unlimited power from, you know, something the size of a softball that just can power the city of Detroit for the next 2,000 years. And your thing is, what if two people die? That's too tall an order. What else works that way? What are you talking about? Safe nuclear power and versions of it are good. Mm-hmm. I know somebody wrote on a bumper sticker, no nukes, and now it's a, well, next. But I'm not, you want to investigate ways to have abundant power safely.
A guy
that's clean.
Does a cleanup thing, and he's got this, I don't know really how it works, but he can distill down like months and months of, they have to mop the place out, and that's all radioactive stuff, and he can take all of it and distill it down to like a thimble.
Yeah.
Every month.
Okay, look, I'm not saying, well, is it nuclear power or do we use the hammer of Thor to power everything? It's like, no, we use nuclear power. We use other things that are unreliable and not effective and we're not advanced enough from a technological standpoint. And we use coal and we use natural gas and we use turbine stuff with water, hydropower and stuff. All the stuff you don't like. You don't like building dams. You don't like coal power. You don't like gas. It's got the word gas in it. You don't like natural gas. You don't like any of that stuff. What do you like? We like windmills. Okay, but that's not going to do it. So how can we supplement it? Or what can we do to do this? I say nuclear. That'd be clean. You say no nukes. Oh, okay, I don't get what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve power, abundant power with a small footprint.
Well, now it's like you're not supposed to be on a plane. The green, what do they call it? The Green Act? Green?
The New Deal.
New Deal.
Even no planes. Bicycles. We're going that direction now. They want to take us backwards.
All right.
And you know, all the road diets in Los Angeles, that's that group trying to get you out of your car into a bicycle.
It's a scary group who sort of knows what's best for you because they know what's best.
Listen, please read your history to know whenever a government has taken that position, it does not go well. Dr. Gundry, Stephen Gundry, one of the most famous and respected diet experts in the world. He talks about leaky gut. We did a podcast with him on my podcast. It's certain foods that contain lectins, which are these tiny particles that essentially open up the connections between the cells in your gut. They tend to cause poor digestion. Then the resulting symptomatology includes joint aches, muscle problems, maybe even some brain fog, sleep disturbances. And the solution, well, you know, you'll learn what foods to avoid from Dr. Gundry. He's made a free video describing exactly how this works and what the foods are to avoid. It's things like tomatoes. He'll surprise you what foods he suggests you have to watch out for. And I've talked to a number of people that have taken up this lectin-free diet, and for some of them, it really has made a difference. So people who watch the video reporting more energy, stronger, healthier body, better sleep, better glycemic control sometimes for diabetics. If you finally want to tackle this problem of what Dr. Gundry calls leaky gut, just watch the video at TotalRestore1.com. That is TotalRestore, Total Restore number one. That's the numeral one. TotalRestore1.com.
Also, you know, look, so So let's do a nationwide bulb swap. Let's just give LED bulbs to everybody who makes less than $40,000 a year and swap them all out. I'm all for that stuff. Let's do it all. I don't get it. But meanwhile, we do live in a city where when I'm driving through Pasadena to go to the ice house 2 weeks ago in a torrential rainstorm, the sprinklers are going off on the side of the freeway. So we all need to get it together, right? It's not just us. Mm-hmm. The government needs to figure out a few things, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe the sprinklers should have a water sensor.
What? Imagine that.
The fact that those things exist drives me nuts, Drew. Ken, 51, Arizona.
Yeah, hey, evening, Adam.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just purchased tickets for your Peterson Museum event, and then I saw you guys were taking calls. So
nice.
Thank you, hero Peter.
Yeah, hopefully. I bought tickets for your last documentary and was taking this Survivor 280Z out to your film, and the tire's all rotted, and so I towed home and called it a day. So.
Well, we'll see you this Sunday. If you really want to.
Yeah, I think it's in 2 weeks or something, the 10th, March.
Yeah, as you hear this, it'll be this Sunday. I'm sorry. As people hear this, it'll be March 10th.
Cool.
Thank you. It's
a cool event.
Hey, make sure and find me and say hi and say I'm the guy from Arizona.
They've got the last day of the artsy fartsy motorcycle. Hoity-toity artsy motorcycle exhibit there, too. So
hey, Ken, I may listen, I may not listen. I'm going to bring a couple of my cars. What would you like?
For some of your cars? I would like to see that little roadster that you have with the, it's
BRE?
It's your simple little...
the Datsun?
The one with the head guard, the little... You had it on your website for a while, and then it went away.
Yeah, it's a BRE Roadster.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to see that one.
I'm going to bring the BRE Transporter, too, that used to carry the Roadster all throughout the country.
Yeah, those are cool. I'm glad you kind of redid that. Hopefully people will take a liking to it.
It was the first Hino truck brought into the United States. It's a weird piece. Anyway.
Well, in high school, I used to drive a little Datsun did yard maintenance at a trailer park, and we had the first Datsun little steering wheel shift, gear shift. It was a relic, and it was just like that Hino. It reminded me of that.
Well, thanks.
Cool little truck.
So, Ken, we'll see you. So, what do you got? Yeah,
I left we left a message. Here's what my wife went through, what your wife is going through. I listened to her podcast, and I chuckle. And she was describing a symptoms that my better half had about 2 years ago. Everything the same. Fibroids, womenly, heavy menstrual flow, headaches, stuff. And through one of these periods, I had to go to Walgreens and pick her up some constipation saline laxative. And she went and took it. And it cured her heavy menstrual flow. It all stopped. And she went back to her gynecologist and said, what's up with this? I took this laxative. And she's, no, that's a coincidence. And no. And then we started looking into it, and it seemed like there's this magnesium deal that women who have these fibroid issues, they're recommending surgery, and instead they could just take this supplement and get their iron. And
you are all over the place. You're talking about four entirely different things, none of which overlap. So it is a coincidence, number one. Number two, magnesium citrate is a drink that will explode your bowels cause intense diarrhea. It does not help bleeding fibroids. A saline enema has nothing to do with magnesium citrate. And would be a coincidence in terms of reducing. So you could reduce some of the inflammation down there. I mean, obviously, you know, when you have these bleeding fibroids, there's a lot of inflammation. That's what causes the constipation, is that the uterus is pushing down on the rectum. And you relieve some of that. You can relieve some of the blood flow. And, you know, it's related that way. And magnesium systemically is certainly not going to affect bleeding fibroids. That's like saying if I cut my arm and it starts bleeding, I can just take some magnesium, it'll stop. just doesn't work like that.
Well, okay, that sounds totally plausible. Here was the thing. She was up for surgery. Her gynecologist wanted to, we'll take everything out because you've got, and she's
right, and the bleeding, and the bleeding sometimes stops, and I wouldn't run to that surgery. The gynecologists are a little aggressive with that, in my opinion. And if she doesn't have any more bleeding, let it be. And Lynette has a whole other set of things going on that she's not shared with you that have nothing to do with it.
Leave her at home just to play it safe.
Do what?
Leave her at home just to play it safe. You know what I mean?
Well, no. Thank you, doctor, for your – because I didn't know if – is it – it was too coinky dinky. She took this half a dose of the bottle, then she took a full, and then it never came back.
That's the way this goes. That's the way this is. But Lynette has now got anemia, which is a whole – that's why she's having so many symptoms.
All right. I will tell you – thanks, Ken. Look forward to that museum thing. Look forward to you coming out too, Drew. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to LifeLock. 127 million stolen records containing emails, address, users' names, passwords went up for sale on the dark web. The market for the equivalent of $14,500 in Bitcoin. The dark web provides anonymous access to illegal items and services like drugs, weapons, and stolen data from users. So many cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security. Help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2019, people. We need to protect our identity. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but they're not going to have a problem because you have LifeLock, right, Drew?
Right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM for an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
See, I'd be much more apt to listen to what the politicians were saying if they said things like, and one of, you know, we got cows farting. Okay, I'm all ears. And then the next thing they would say, and of course, all the gridlock and all the traffic with poorly run cities like Los Angeles burning all those fossil fuels, adding tons and tons of carbon into the atmosphere every year. If those cities could time their signals and time their events and get their basically shit together, it would help ease the carbon footprint. Or if they said any of that, I would perk up.
Because it makes sense.
But I never hear any of that.
No,
all I hear is about, you got to stop eating this. All I hear is about stuff I got to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I never hear anything about what you got to do. What about the gridlock? What about all of the hours that people spend with their cars just running and idling? What about that negative impact on society? How come that's not addressed? Why do we live in a city with the worst traffic in the world and we have no traffic czar? Why don't we have someone in charge of easing traffic? Why doesn't somebody appoint somebody to ease traffic? And thus shrink the negative impact of on the environment.
Which reminds me of, yes.
So if I heard any of that talk, I would tend to think these people, and along with a real discussion on building nuclear power plants, then I would be all ears because I would think you were sincere. And I think you actually wanted to stop this versus tell me what to do. See, that's a distinction. Because you talking about what I shouldn't do and talking about building a new nuclear facility makes me think, okay, well, this person wants abundant power and they want me to take it easy on the beef. Okay, you have a laundry list of things that I can't do and you don't have any things for you to do, like ease traffic or build a new power plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to tune out because all these things tend to fall onto the ledger of here's what you can do and here's what you can't do. I'd like to hear some real-world stuff you're going to do.
The government.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Which, speaking of easing traffic,
by the way, outside of telling everyone what to do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Speaking of easing traffic, have we talked about the flying car thing?
Yeah, a little bit.
What do you think about that?
I'm all up for innovation and anyone who can ease anything.
I think it's looking
anything.
Pretty good.
It is. It,
like within 2 years, I think we're going
to
have something.
Oh, I've talked to experts.
2 years?
Yeah, they're moving.
Are you going to do it?
I'll do anything anytime.
I mean, just as a statement, you know what I mean? To jumping over the horrors of this city transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the most likely thing to happen?
Uber,
yeah.
And they're working on it. And I'm sure there's a few companies, but it's Uber. And it's, as we kind of discussed it, it's all about short hops.
Yeah.
Now literally short hops versus you can get to France in 4 hours.
Right.
And it's everyday stuff.
Yeah.
It's I have to go play the Irvine Improv. And I'm supposed to be on stage on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and it's drizzling outside. All right, that's an hour and 51-minute commute to travel from where I live to Irvine. 39 miles is going to take me 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. Gary can check my house at Irvine Improv. I mean, maybe it's 36 miles, but either way, it's 2 hours.
Yeah, or 10 minutes on Uber.
It's probably about closer to 50.
50 miles?
Is that far?
To Irvine, yeah, because from here, my house is about 40. So it's got to be a little further than that.
Well, check just for shits and giggles. But either way, it shouldn't take 2 hours.
Right.
And it does now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to do it in 28 minutes.
Oh, I think you can beat that probably.
Well, I won't put the bar up too high.
Yeah.
And when somebody says, LAX and... your plane comes in and lands at 5:15 on Wednesday, like
2 hours home anywhere.
Right, yeah. Right. So I like to mitigate that with look, the private sector is going to fix it because the private sector needs
private
revenue.
Sector starting to work on the homeless thing. There's some success up in Sacramento.
61 miles, Gary's right, yes.
There's some success up in Sacramento where they've got some private-public stuff going on where they're set up rather than – housing, set up tents with beds where they treat people. And then once they get them treated and stabilized, then they transition them to something like a house. Imagine that. And it's working. Shocking.
Well, there's – I don't – the school, it's the funniest thing in the world. It's like we have a big experiment that the government runs. I don't even like that there's an education board. Like I'm not down with it. But I live in LA. The schools aren't usable, and that's what you get. So I don't know that they're going to do anything different between the VA or the airport or the traffic or the schools. Anything they have a monopoly on and run does not run very well, and it doesn't run very well for the same reasons. There's no competition. And what if the – I know I'm a broken record here, but what if the government – look, there is a place where the state just makes a – the government makes a car and basically issues it to you, and it's one car and it's whatever, and it's Russia, and it's they're shit boxes. I mean, imagine our government made a car.
Yeah.
Why is that funny to you?
Because they couldn't do it.
Well, what would that car be?
A shitbox.
Okay. But Audi, Mercedes, Nissan, Toyota, they're all Ford. They're all going at it. And guess who the winner is?
Customers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then people go, well, what if Mercedes made cars that blew up every time you turn the ignition on? It's like, well, I don't feel like it's a good business plan for them.
What?
Well, I mean, the next argument is the government's got to make the cars because you can't trust Audi to make cars.
I see.
We need to make cars. You can't teach your kids with vouchers. We need to teach your kids. Like, right. you who do nothing well, you are going to be in charge? I don't trust you. I've seen the stretch of the 5 freeway over here they've been working on for 18 years. They're not making a lot of progress. I don't trust you guys. To do anything in a timely fashion. I don't trust you to do anything in a monetarily conservative fashion. I don't really trust you doing it. And by the way, why should I? You shouldn't trust you. You have no incentive. I wouldn't do anything any differently than you if people just kept cutting checks and I just kept mailing in whatever I was doing. I mean, there's a goddamn stretch of freeway that runs behind us that they've been working on for 11 years. There seems to be no
No end in sight.
No, they're not. Why are they? They keep getting paid.
Yeah.
They don't stop getting paid. There's no deadlines. As far as the budget goes, it's every 3 years you revise it and raise it. So, I mean, what's the difference?
Let them have health care.
Yeah, that's going to turn out perfect. All right. My thing is, like, why do you think they're capable? Why do you think they're up to this challenge? What do they do? I mean, all we do is sit around and talk about it. You see how the veterans are treated? You see what's going on with the homeless? Like, yeah, I do. That's why I don't want to make in cars. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all laughing at the prospect of a government-built car, right?
Yes.
That you would never in a million years get near that car. Why is that funny to you? And if it is funny, then why don't you just use that math? Just extrapolate it to almost everything. Jesus Christ. Ooh, speaking of cars, True Cars. No government cars over there, True Car.
No.
No. You got to find, what did the Soviets run around in? I mean, that thing was like a two-stroke, like from the 70s. Like, I mean, I figure out what their car was. Now, look, they want to, you know, but let me tell you, the prime minister, he's driving a Mercedes. They're not driving their own.
Right.
They're no dummies.
Right.
Right. They probably got it a True Car. 60 seconds. What can you do in 60 seconds? Well, you can go to True Car, use your smartphone, use your computer, and give them your license plate number. Watch your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions. You'll get an accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. Bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together. Ask questions. Get answers. No surprises. Then you leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So you want new, you want used. If you're ready for a better buying experience, you go with True Car today. Gary, you got any Soviet car thing?
I'm looking through it here. There appears to be a bunch of different brands.
Huh. They all kind of look the same, though, didn't they? They look like an old Peugeot from France.
Yeah.
Another piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
What's it called? SFSR?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Moscovich.
Yeah, like,
that can't be it.
Look, people here don't even want to drive a Saab. I know. And that's about 10 times better than this thing.
There's a lot of SSR, but I can't tell if those are brand names or if that's the name of the factory.
Those are the names of the countries.
Well, yeah, but I don't know what the SSR designation means, if that's a model of a car or what.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, if you don't want to drive a car that was produced by the government, and you do want them in charge of the schools to teach your kids? I don't know. Maybe what if Porsche or Audi ran a school or Honda? Would you tend to think that was probably a more effective school?
I'd be very interested.
Would you rather send your kid to LA Unified or Audi Unified or Porsche Unified? All right, let's bring it home, Drew.
All right. Let's go to drdrew.com for all the pods there. Don't forget Dr. After Dark and check out the Opiate series. Adam, what do you got coming?
Not Taco Bell material available now. My first stand-up special at chassis.com and also it's two S's and a Y and iTunes as well. Go to adamcarolla.com for everything you need. We'll see you at the Peterson Museum this Sunday. And check out the new podcast, Two Cups of Joe with Joey Fatone and his good buddy manager Joe as well. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. the Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at CECTurfandTractor.com.